Word of God, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the title of my message is The Slider. The Slider. And you know, it's kind of interesting because I know that when I pastored, whenever I had a visiting pastor, I would make a little note of their message. And I noticed right here at Hebrews chapter 2, on August the 1st of 2010, I had a young gentleman that filled the pulpit for us by the name of Wayne Mott. And he preached a message on, "Are you drifting?" And Brother Mott, if you're listening tonight, brother, your words are still circulating. God's still using them. So, folks, we are going to see tonight some very strong language. Some very strong language in the Word of God. Some strong language for a very serious subject. And let's read tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, here in verse number 1 to verse number 4. And I want you to notice as we read through this passage of Scripture, how many emphasizing words that you see. And that is words that are being used that carry the weight of a seriousness, of a weight to them, of a connector word. For example, the very first word, therefore. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Very strong words for a very serious subject. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, I pray, I ask tonight, Father, that you would be the real voice tonight. Lord Jesus, just use the weakness of my own voice tonight, Lord Jesus, to speak to many hearts. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom, the discernment, Lord Jesus, to look at our own action, to look at our own attitude about these things. And we will give Jesus all the praise, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, if I were to ask for a show of hands tonight, I think we'd all be surprised. I don't ask you to do this, but I think we would be surprised how many in here have had some kind of a brush with cancer. I know that since 4 years ago when I had my cancer diagnosis, I was really surprised at how many people just in our church have had cancer at one time or another. And you know, there are many that would say that the American Cancer Society has done a pretty good job of issuing those warning signs, those warning symptoms, 7 basic symptoms, and I'm sure that many of you could even tell us what those symptoms are. Everything from unusual bleeding or a lump or a thickness somewhere in the body, a sore that doesn't heal, a change in your bathroom habits, a persistent hoarseness or a cough, indigestion or difficulty in swallowing, change in a wart or a mole. And it's been said that untold thousands of people are alive today because they know those warning signals. And because of that, they heeded those warnings and got early treatment. Because I think most of us understand that most cancers, if you catch them early enough, they are treatable. But you know something? The same thing is also true about spiritual diseases. And that is, God issues his warning signs about those. And this evening, we're going to be looking at some of those spiritual danger signals. And it is important. It is important for us to pay close attention to these. And we're going to find them all right here in the book of Hebrews. Because you see, in the book of Hebrews, we will see one admonition after another, after another, after another. And actually, as we look at all of those different admonitions in the book of Hebrews, they get stronger and stronger and stronger. And in matter of fact, in some places, for example, Hebrews chapter 6, the language is so strong that many have erroneously concluded that it could be possible for us to even lose our own salvation. But of course it's not. But the language becomes so strong. The warnings become so clear. And so that's what we want to see tonight. We want to see these warnings. Because notice again what it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip there has the idea of drifting. Just like a boat that would be on the water and just allows just to drift, just to go, just to pass on by. Therefore, that is why we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things, lest at any time we should let them slip. There, folks, we need to be careful about our drifting as a Christian. We need to be careful about our drifting as a Christian. What is it that causes this drifting? Well, let's turn over to chapter 3. In chapter 3 and in verse number 12, we see something here that I believe is significant. Because one of the reasons why we drift and others will drift is because we are unwilling to be honest about our sins. We do not want to be straightforward. We don't want to come clean about our own sin problems. In Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse number 12, again, look at this strong language. It says here, take heed. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Did you notice that he said, take heed, brethren? I mean, he's talking to fellow Christians. He's talking to those who are at least making a profession of faith, who are saying, yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I know I'm on my way to heaven. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says, oh, take heed, lest at any time that an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of the time of the Old Testament and the wandering in the wilderness. An unwillingness to come clean about our sin. Oh, you know what we want to do? Probably one of our most well-known statements, one of the things that you will hear again and again and again is that, well, hey, come on. I mean, we're just human, aren't we? I mean, nobody's perfect, right? And, you know, we kind of hide under those things. We hide behind those things that, well, you know, just don't expect that much out of us because, hey, you know, these things happen and so forth and so on. And, you know, there is this gradual process of drifting that can take place. Somebody sins. They've been thinking about it. They've been thinking about it, and then they commit that sin. And then, of course, what we have a tendency to is, as I just said, just kind of dismiss it, minimize it. It's not such a big deal, not such a big deal. Those besetting sins that we have. Those things that just keep bothering us and bothering us and bothering us and bothering us. And the next thing you know, there's a hardness. There's a hardness of heart that we see in our life. And then after that, we start to see a heart of unbelief. And that unbelief begins to reign. Next thing we know, we're turning away from everything that we know as a Christian. We're turning away from being in church. We're turning away from reading God's word. We're turning away from praying. We're turning away from wanting to live a clean, pure Christian life and keep our testimonies intact for the Lord Jesus. Turning away from the very living God himself. Just ignore him like he hasn't done anything for us. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to be careful to prevent this from happening. And folks, one of the things that we can do to prevent it from happening is to make a decision that you are going to be hard when it comes to sin in your own life. You're not going to be excusing it. You're not going to be minimizing it. You're going to look at it. You're going to see it. And you're going to take a strong stand about it. In other words, you just make these decisions. There are going to be some places I will not go. There are going to be some things I will not do. There are going to be some things that I am not going to think about. There are going to be some things that I am not going to say. A strong stand toward it. Otherwise, it'll just eat away, eat away, eat away, eat away at you. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? Oh, yeah, a number of you do. Paul Harvey, the radio commentator. Paul Harvey, he told the story about how an Eskimo kills a wolf. He said that that Eskimo will take his knife and he will dip it in animal blood. And then he will allow that knife blade to freeze. He sharpened it. Oh, is it ever sharp? But he puts a coat of animal blood, lets it freeze. Then he coats it again, lets it freeze. Coats it again, lets it freeze. Coats it again, lets it freeze. Coats it again. And then soon there is no trace of the knife blood or the knife blade whatsoever. He then takes that knife and buries it in the ground with the blade sticking up. And it's not before long, some wolf catches the scent of that blood and comes to that knife and just takes a lick. Then takes another lick and takes another lick. Licks again and licks again and licks again and licks again. And suddenly something starts to happen. He starts to taste fresh blood. He starts to taste, he sees that this blood, not only is it fresh blood, but it's nice warm blood. And he just licks and licks and licks and licks and licks and licks and gets weaker and weaker and weaker as he bleeds to death on that very knife. Oh, my friends, we need to be careful to these admonitions that we find in the book of Hebrews. Strong language for us as Christians to pay attention to and note and need and see what it is that we need to be concerned about. Oh, yes, it's God's word, and we need to obey it. And you would see that these admonitions, as I said, they're going to become stronger and stronger as we go through the book of the Hebrews to the point we would just completely drift away. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Let's see what those verses say. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Strong language for a very serious issue. Oh, my friends, listen, don't you think for a minute that God is going to just sit idly by and just let his children rebel against him? He will speak and he will speak and he will speak. He will speak to our hearts. And then when he needs to, when it comes to the point, he will chasten us. He will chasten us to get back to that position of where we ought to be. Remember the admonition there in chapter 2 and verse number 3. Remember, it says that it was written to believers. The one who wrote the book of Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, he includes himself when he says, we, the danger of neglecting our own salvation. Listen, folks, he says rejecting. He did not say rejecting, but he said neglecting. And there's a great difference between the two. This is not about speaking to the unsaved. Not about speaking to the unsaved, that they should not neglect salvation. Although, quite frankly, that message has been preached many times. And there have been folks who have been saved. A great truth, just in the wrong place. But be wary. Be careful. Watch out. Follow after God. Be careful of how we look at the sins in our own life. And so he says there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, remember, lest we should let them slip, lest we drift away. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse number 19, let's see what the scripture says there. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. There, the Word of God even tells us that it's like an anchor. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Listen, these things are like an anchor for us. How confident we can be in the promises of God. We see them as an anchor. And I'm telling you, folks, so many spiritual problems are caused by neglect. 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 We know we should read our Bibles. And we think, well, Lord, the morning's starting to slip away. I need to get a little bit done first. I need to do this. I need to do. And then right after lunch, I'm going to have a good time of reading God's Word. And right after lunch, something else happens. And then you think, well, just before supper, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to read God's Word. I'm going to do some praying, and something else happens. And then you think, well, right after supper, I'm going to read God's Word, and something else happens. It just grows that way. Neglect, neglect, neglect. You meant to, you know you should have, but you don't do it. Oh, we are so prone to neglect. We neglect God's Word. We neglect a time of prayer. We neglect that time to worship with God's people. How many folks last week I talked to at the fair, and those that had professed Christ, and I said, remember, three things so important. Read God's Word every day. You're not going to stand it. You're not going to understand it all in one day. No. You're not going to understand everything you read in one day. I don't. But you know something? God's promised he'll help you with something. He'll show you something. There'll be something there that you can draw from. Something there that will help you. So read God's Word. Take time to pray and call upon God. Listen, don't forget this. God's Word is God speaking to you. And when you pray, it's you speaking to your Heavenly Father. Oh, don't neglect that time of reading God's Word. Don't neglect that time of praying unto your Heavenly Father. And don't neglect being someplace where the Word of God is preached faithfully. Be part of a church. Be part of a church. Oh, they're like an anchor. You know, folks, when we drift, it's not the anchor's fault. The anchor stays in place. Who drifts is us, not the anchor. Not the anchor. It's there for us. I read a story one time about a preacher who was preaching a series of sermons on sins of the saints. Sins of the saints. And he was reprimanded. He was reprimanded by one of the members of the church. And this member said, well, after all, don't forget, I mean, sin in the life of a Christian is different from sin in the lives of other people. And the preacher very wisely said, yeah, I know, it's worse. She didn't like that. Didn't like that. You know, we've got the idea today that since we are under grace, since we are under grace, we can escape. Oh, we know that the Lord is going to help us and the Lord is going to be with us. But to whom much is given, much shall be required. Not only have we received the word of God from the Son of God, but that word has been confirmed, as the scripture says, by those signs and wonders, divers miracles and gifts. We see it as we look through the book of Acts. We see one thing after another, after another, after another that the Lord did to authenticate that message. Today, though, we've got the completed word of God. So we can read it, we can see it, we can study it, we can know it. Too many Christians today, I fear, take the word of God for granted and neglect it. I tell you, in my own ministry, I've seen that. What the neglect of the word of God, the neglect of prayer, public prayer, private prayer, results in spiritual drifting. Oh, I tell you, how many of us here tonight have seen those times in our lives when we have grown cold, when we have grown indifferent, when we have grown uncaring and hard toward the things of God, that we could testify and we could say, you're right, preacher. There was a time of neglect in my life. There was a time of drifting in my life. It can happen to any of us. It can happen to any of us. How many of us enjoy the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. The composer of that song was Robert Robinson. He was saved under the preaching of George Whitefield. But later he drifted. He drifted from the Lord. He had been greatly used as a pastor, but he began to neglect those spiritual things. In an attempt to find peace, he traveled. And one of his journeys, he was sitting someplace and there was another young lady. And she was reading and she said to him, sir, what do you think of this hymn that I have been reading? And he looked at the book that she handed him, and here it was, his very own hymn that he had written many years before. He tried to avoid her question, but she persisted, and it was hopeless. The Lord was speaking to him, and finally he broke down and confessed and told her just who he was and how he had been living away from the Lord. And you know, that dear sister just simply said this, but these streams of mercy are still flowing. And you know, the Lord used that and spoke to his heart, and he could not get away from it. And he came back to the place of fellowship with the Lord. Oh, I tell you, it is so easy to drift, especially with the current. But it's pretty hard to come back upstream against the drift, against the stream. Our salvation is a great salvation. It's a great salvation indeed. And it was purchased at a great price. It brings with it great promises, great blessings, and it leads to a great inheritance in glory. How can we neglect it? Why should we neglect it? We should stay close to the Word of God. Be careful of the sin in our life. Be careful when we start to neglect the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5. We just have time tonight just to look at this briefly. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Notice the scripture says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull, circle that word, of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says, By this time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teaching. You know, I pastored for many, many, many years. I can't tell you how many different Bible schools we put together. I played more different characters during those Bible schools. You name it, I think I've done just about everything. And you know what? One thing I noticed that I never had problems with in Bible school, when it came to volunteers, I never had any problem with this. Never did. Never did. I never had any trouble finding somebody who would pass out the cookies. You know? Yeah. I mean, everybody wanted to do that. Oh, preacher, I'll pass out the cookies. You know, and I'm not putting down people that pass out the cookies. We need you, and that's great. But you know what? We don't need everybody to pass out the cookies, folks. We need some folks who will step forward and say, hey, you know what? I have been saved for a while. There's no reason why I can't teach. I can't try it. I can't at least get started. Can't do something more than that. Oh, my friends, it happens because we drift. We drift. We don't have the appetite that we need in serving the Lord. Folks, I tell you, aren't you tired of drifting? Wouldn't you be like to have an anchor and to know for sure where you're at before the Lord? Don't you want to know for sure that you can be serving the Lord and trusting Him and depending upon Him tonight? Folks, I tell you, we don't have to drift. You don't have to drift. We can turn to the Lord and we can look to the Lord. We can depend upon the Lord and He'll help you stop the drift. Let's pray. Father and God.